From Nisarnane, we have Venerable Kenya Dhammosada and Kelvin from Singapore. And we are joining with English Dhamma discussion. And we were discussing Nidana Sangyutta, Sangyutta Nikaya, that is the connected discourses. And today it is the sixth sermon, sixth sutta that we need to discuss. It is called Nidda Thandi Sutta. Nidda Thandi Suttang. I'll read the Pali verse first and then a little bit of Sinhala translation. And Venerable Dhammosada will recite the English translation. The one deity, Devata, is reciting like this. Nidda Thandi Vijambika Arati Bhatta Sammadu Etena Nappa Kasati Arya Maggo Idha Pani Nanti. I'll repeat it again. Nidda Thandi Vijambika Arati Bhatta Sammudu Etena Nappakasati Arya Maggo Idha Pani Nanti. The translation, Sinhala translation. Ninda Temariya Engameli Kadima Kusal Daham Hinoelma Bhatmate Yana Main Melava Satya Anta Arya Marga Prakata Nove. Then Buddha answers. Niddang tanding vijambikang arating bhatta sambadang viriyena nang panametva arya maggo visujjhatiti. Niddang tanding vijambikang arating bhatta sambadang viriyena nang panametva arya maggo visujjhatiti. Ninda temariya engameli kadima kusal dahami noyalma batmate yana moun virin durukata sitiyahuta arya marge pirisudu ve. So we have to discuss that, Lokusamin Hansa. So I'll invite Kenya Dhammosada to present the English translation.
Avashai Swamin Hansa. This is Sutta number 16 of the Sangyutta Nikaya. Title is Drowsiness and Lethargy. And it goes like this. Drowsiness, lethargy, lazy stretching, discontent, torpor after meals. Because of this, here among beings, the noble path does not appear. And the second verse, drowsiness, lethargy, lazy stretching, discontent, torpor after meals. When one dispels this with energy, the noble path is cleared.
Avasarai Swami Nahansa, so we have to discuss about this Nidda, that is the drowsiness. Thandi, translate as lethargy. Lethargy, vijambika is kind of stretching of the limbs with some laziness. Arati is discontent towards the wholesome activities. And bhatta sammudu, kind of a torpor because of the having the meals. So these are very much like talking about why a person is not able to meditate or to practice the Dhamma or to do any other thing. So these are the drowsiness, laziness, this kind of activities. Hope Loksana is connecting with us.
මේකේ බත් සම්බද විජම්බිකා ඒ කාරණාව තමයි මිනිස්සාව ඩිප්‍රෙෂන් කියලා.
In English ස්වාමීන් වහන්සේ.
ආ ඒ හරි මට මෙහෙමුත් ඉංග්‍රීසි කියලා කියුණා. This is what these are the qualities are the people call depression. People call frustrated. So they wanted to have an answer for that. That means they don't accept this frustration. They don't accept this tension. Tension is because lethargic, exhausted, or boring, monotonous. Because life is a cycle. So first cycle, second cycle, third cycle, there may be some enthusiasm. After that, depression, because it is repetitive of the same thing. So technology and the media try to make kottu roti, cutting from one piece from there, from there, and representing. Representing exactly the same rotten things. There is nothing new. So therefore, to at the beginning, at the facially, we accept it. Soon it becomes another monotonous. Because our mind is rotten. That rotten mind, we try our best to have facelifting, makeup, and all the kind of thing, knowing it is we are doing to the same old figure. That when we were young, it was exciting for us to see figures in the fashion houses, like just like a males, females, and kind of thing. And at that time, it was very expensive. Now, it is so common. By looking at, you don't get the advertisement. You don't get the attraction because it is so common. So likewise, earlier the kings and the able people, they had some pleasure. Other people thought, they have pleasure, we don't have pleasure because of money and because of lack of amenities. But me, upper medium class also now get the same luxuries, all the kind of thing, but the frustration increases. And politicians are promising to give that, to extend that luxury to the lower middle class also. They also will be frustrated. And lower class people will say we are deprived of all the kind of thing. It is natural for us to have the frustration and depression. And some parties are telling everyone we are going to give the lack of depression and the lack of frustration. That means they don't understand the suffering. They don't understand the samsara. Samsara means suffering. And the Buddha's secret and radical answer is this boredom is bearable. This monotony is bearable. Don't outcry. Don't have organizations. Don't have formulas. Don't have equipments. Instead, just be prepared. If you go prepared, they are not boring. Boredom is no more boredom. It becomes a freedom. Either it becomes a loneliness or aloneness. So whole vipassana is the secret of how to make loneliness into aloneness. But for many people, aloneness is a punishment. They think it is happening in the prison. But anyway, at the deathbed, everyone is going to be prepared with this aloneness. So therefore, this aloneness, ekachari, is a threat to the society, because society is always go-go show. So therefore, these Patta Sammada Vijambika, these points, unfortunate words, but they're very blessed words. This is indicating you are isolate or you are solitude. So present day, solitude is hated. That is why Eric Fromm, he wrote fear of freedom and fear of unknown. Don't let that frustration and others to be unknown. It's a much known thing. Only the thing is appreciation. And that may indicate you are negative and you are nihilistic. You are always talking and appreciating this frustration. No. Frustration is a common thing. We are preparing our mind. That is what the Girl Guides and the Scouting is doing. Be prepared. Exactly that is what the monkhood, whatever coming, boredom, monotony, and frustration, loneliness, everything is the intrinsic base of our life. Don't try to find answers outside. Sometimes there may be. If it is so, you just can entertain them. But overall, that kind of thing to the political systems, economic system, and the social system is an utter fallacy. Utter fallacy. That is how the conspiracy theorists are telling how some people come and promise you we are going to give you all the kind of luxuries and kind of thing. And they bloody fellows are the real the cursor of discrimination, sectarianism, and then they are going to give us promises. So therefore, don't believe outside. Believe mindfulness here and now. And it is boring. It is monotonous. It is not natural outcome of the mind. So that's why when Jnanaponika in the power of mindfulness, he say to bring that mindfulness into such a heightened level, there should have a omnipotent Buddha. No one can do it. So at the beginning, when I learn mindfulness, call it choiceless awareness, is a clear-cut answer for this boredom, monotony, and the frustration. So therefore, we have to rethink, because we have the capacity, we have the potential, we have to catalyze it. That is what I thought of sharing in this juncture.
Thank you very much for that elucidation, Swami Nuanse. In the sutta itself, there is a reference to the Bodhanga Samyutta that explains further the nutriment or the arising or the source of this drowsiness and lethargy. And what I find interesting is that it is at par, or it's exactly as you are saying, this monotony, this sluggishness of mind, it's not really the problem, because it will be there. It is just a Dhamma. It is a thing that exists. And the problem, the Bodhanga Samyutta says, is giving careless attention to these signs, this discontent, this lethargy, stretching, drowsiness after meals, and sluggishness of mind. It is there by nature. But when we pay attention to it, when we give it an attribute, then it comes into existence and it becomes real for us, and then it becomes an impediment to meditation or to the progress of insight. This is just an extra note to the sutta. It was giving how this drowsiness and lethargy arises, giving attention to these unwholesome states of mind.
So the existence means, that means nature, existence means boredom, existence means monotony, alone. But we are going to facelift, we are going to do cosmetics into the existence. Ultimately, nature of existence, the beauty of the existence will be destroyed. In that sense, our aboriginals, our early tribes, they are just living. They are not putting up skyscrapers, highways. They try to adapt into the nature and live. We call they are not civilized. And we call civilized people destroying the nature, ultimately destroying each other. And aboriginals never think about committing suicide. Animals never. But civilized people, the more you civilize, more committing suicide or more serial killing. So therefore, it's an aberration. It's a kind of a stirring, unwanted stirring, and too much of wear and tear. So therefore, we from poor countries must live happily. Don't expect any development. Any development is disturbing the present balance. The here, now I am is the best balance. It's everlasting. So therefore, try to be with the present moment, that existential suffering. It's called Sandrushtika Vade. Six existential thinkers, one book, and that is heavily quoted by Clearing the Path. And whenever Jnanananda's concept and reality, and they have given that is the heighten of the present day philosophy. Durkheim, I can't remember, the six existentialists, they say, be in the present moment in a different way. present moment itself is boring. So if you wish to be liberated, you like mindfulness, you like boredom, and you are moment, immediately, you are liberated. I like others' ideas also.
So I have a different idea now. From the meditation point of view, you have anything to discuss, share? Yeah, okay, yeah. So one area now, so this arati, tandi and all that, particularly causing some lethargy or laziness. Now there's another area in meditation we are trying to emphasize. That is the vitakka. We are again and again, we are applying our mind to a particular object. So that has to be heightened, or that has to be highlighted. That has to give some emphasis. Say we are selecting a particular object, what is typically called as the primary object, mulakamatahana. So we are trying to occupy the mind with that instead of allowing the mind to get into this old rut, old kind of a habit. So we are introducing this new primary object and we are occupying the mind. Okay, you have to be there. You have to be there. You have to pay attention to that. You have to pay attention to that. So continuously, say, for example, rising and falling. So the abdominal movement is continuously available. So it's either we don't need to interrupt it at all, or we don't need to participate in it. So it is a natural process going on. And what we need to do is to emphasize, okay, you need to pay attention to that. Pay attention to that. So when we are paying attention to rising, okay, we can't take a rest. Next time the falling is going to happen. Now we have to pay attention to the falling. Okay, once we are done with that, we can't take a rest. We have to pay attention to the next rising. Once we have done that, okay, we have to pay attention to the next falling. So likewise, continuously, a series of events are there, which is very much like soothing to the mind, a kind of relaxing process. And therefore, continuous paying attention, or what we call as the applied mind, applying our mind to a particular selected object again and again, continuously, help us to keep the mind awake, keep the mind fully in the present moment, and again, minimizing this lethargic type of activity in the mind, and preventing it going from to that sort of, how to say, a lazy state. Now, you have to be fully vigilant in order to pay attention to this very subtle process. But the disadvantage is, at the beginning, even the subtle process is not prominent, and say easily this become also, this process also is a kind of neutral process. So therefore, mind still can't figure it out properly and can't properly attune to it. So as a result of that, even when we are paying attention to rising and falling or breathing, again the person may fall asleep. So therefore, often what we can see is when people are meditating also, they fall asleep. So this lethargic state or drowsiness is a common issue that we all may face. But if the moment that we are slowly refining our attention, sharpening the mindfulness, so that sharpened mindfulness can be properly kept on the object again and again, continuously, with a refined object, so then mind get properly heightened. Then mind get free from all this lethargic drowsiness state, and it has become fully awake with this subtle process which is happening continuously. Now we can say, okay, you have overcome the lethargic state, you have overcome the drowsiness, you have overcome the laziness, because mind also has refined and your mindfulness also has sharpened. Not only that, with such mindfulness you are again and again paying attention to this continuous process, that subtle process. For in order to successfully do that, you have to be fully awake, you have to be fully alert. So therefore, vitakka is one interesting capacity or skill that we are developing in meditation to overcome this laziness or drowsiness happening in the mind. So this is something I like to add to the discussion.
With this all detail in your mind, I hope I can hear you. You can hear me?
Hey, my Swanas, we can.
So that laziness, lethargic, and this monotonous, low battery level is a sign of Nibbana. So it's so common. It's so under your very nose. You don't know how to treat it. You have a fear of freedom. You have a fear of unknown. You consider the boredom and everything is unknown. It is not related to me. I am not that type. I am such a fortunate person. I need this and that. No. This is a precursor. Pubba karana, pubba nimitta of the Nibbana. So therefore accepting that is, many people think it's accepting nihilism. Destructive. So how can we run a family with that kind of acceptance? So people appreciating the social values and the family values, all the kind of thing, they are try to do away with boredom. They have to try to do away with their children's boredom. They have to try to do away with their parents' boredom. They have to try to do away with the office mates' boredom. So that they make enthusiastic plan to remove the boredom against others. That means you are avoiding the clear sign of Nibbana. You are making motivations, different motivations to keep outwardly. Without considering you yourself, you consider it is my prime duty to look after the other people. Here, now I am, you become eccentric. You don't know. And people think you are thinking in terms of boredom and solitude. They think you are quite unsocial. You are very selfish. That's a very common flat complaint against the Theravada tradition. That's why it has always become a minority. So we must be happy that we are belongs to minority, because we are giving the Nibbanic signs in a proper place rather than from the social and political and economical point of view. That is my contribution I thought of sharing with you.
Swami Nansi, thank you for that further elucidation too. I have a question with regard to this boredom, this thing that we perceive as boredom. So, for example, when a yogi is having a development in their vipassana and they come to see that all mental and physical phenomena arise and pass away, to some extent they start to accept that, you know, this is the nature of things. This thing that is boredom, this is just how it is, because everything is impermanent. Whatever you cling to in the end will pass away and it will leave you depressed. Or whatever is exciting you cling to, you think that it is giving you happiness and contentment, but in the end it passes away and depression follows. So the yogi begins to sort of appreciate and accept that this is the nature of things. They don't have some value that we can cling to. So when the yogi accepts this, then the mind relaxes, the mental activities come down, the bodily activities come down. But at some point, the mind, with its old habit patterns, it still wants to do things, even though it knows that this is the way to just relax. The mind still wants to do things. And so the yogi starts to exert energy to make the mind not do things. In the beginning, the yogi was exerting energy to do things, but now he is exerting energy to not do things. So now the mind is it's kind of working in the opposite. So sometimes for a yogi, it is really hard to just stay there, and they feel like they need to exert energy. But then again, we get meditation instructions, practical instructions, that you don't need to do anything. Just
relax.
Just relax.
Yeah, no, that's very true. So till Bhante connects, we'll discuss.
Join from the cell phone.
Hey, my son.
Hope you can join, but... overall situation is messed up, but phone is helping, so that Oshada's presentation is brilliant. So therefore, he is coming from the one corner of the world. But still, we have the same idea. So my comment is, if you understand the boredom and frustration and kind of thing as a sign of Nibbana, you are already in Nibbana. It's a birthright. Therefore, don't try to do cosmetics for that. Just be simple. That is called Taoism. Be here and now. Because you are ready for this. You are ready for this boredom. Alone. So therefore, you are not expecting social values. You are not socially forward person. You are a bhikkhu. You are a yogi. So that is not a very sellable idea. It is not a palatable idea for many people. So that is what we are repeating again and again. We all are accepting. Good.
Good morning, Bhantis. So I often see this in Singapore that when the yogis come for retreat, they always say, "I feel sleepy, I feel sleepy, I sit and I feel sleepy." And I can understand to them, when you feel sleepy, it feels like, you know, it's not within your control. You know, you just can't control it. It's not something you can see that your mind is creating a story that you're tired or you're bored or you want to lie down, or lying down is comfortable. You can't see that at first as a yogi. So I do appreciate Venerable Chandratana, who said that, you know, you apply vitaka and then you do that. But for some yogis, it's really hard. I do understand it. In the beginning, it's really, sleepiness is always the enemy. Your enemy that you don't really see that it's you. You know, it's hidden as a construct of your mind, and you don't see it as just a mere construct of your mind. You do see it as something that is not you, something that is coming from outside, or something that you kind of have enjoyed for a while, and then, you know, now you kind of feel it more because you are more in contact with your mind and you see it happening more and more. So you feel sleepy or a lot more than you usually do when you're working, when you're paying attention to all the vicissitudes of life and everything. So yeah, that's what I want to kind of add. For me, now as the practice matures, it's more like really just tuning the mind. Like, you do see it as an object of the mind, a construct of the mind, a movement of the mind, and you can sort of slowly either don't direct the movement and let it go, or, you know, see how it is, investigate it, have fun with it, have a little bit of fun in my mind with it, and then let it go. Yeah, things like that. So it does mature slowly, but you gotta persevere. The starting part is really hard. You really get bogged down by all your past experiences and what have you, that thinking that sleepy and lethargy it's not me, it's my body, or I just want to sleep, you know. It's just more comfortable. That's all I have.
So till Bhante joins, so we'll add a few more things. So yeah, as you said, it's a very common problem. So that's why we often emphasize particularly the walking meditation. Because, you know, sometimes people prefer just sit and just hang on, even though the mind is pretty inactive and very much like in a hidden place. So, and complete in inactivity. So this is not the real, you know, that state of mind that we are trying to bring up at the beginning. So at the beginning, we need some sort of an attentive mind, fairly alert. Alertness is something necessary to, again and again, to keep our attention on breathing or whatever it is. Now, on the other hand, if we replace it with walking, so quite unlikely that the person may get sleep while walking. So it's maybe we can invite them to go outside and enjoy the environment and enjoy the breeze and start walking. And while walking, you are not supposed to close your eyes. You are supposed to keep your eyes open. And again, don't slowly move. Just allow the body to move naturally, according to your natural pace, rather than slowing down. So then it's very much like a little bit of active posture than in the kind of a sluggish posture. So the walking is a fairly active posture, and you have to volitionally walk. And maybe sometimes I can remember Bhante Dhammajiva often advise, you can even walk backside. okay, you can walk on the edge, you can walk on a rope. So, because at the beginning, what is necessary is to establish mindfulness, okay, kind of a awareness which is very alert, and at the same time you are paying attention at the present moment, a little bit of exciting even. Now, when you are walking backside or when you are walking on a properly on a rope, so all these are certain strategies to overcome this lethargic state, which is possible at the beginning of the meditation. To overcome that, so I think rather than sitting and just trying to be mindful on breathing or rising and falling, better go for a walk and open in the open environment and continue your practice. So slowly your mind start appreciating that, and overcoming the lethargic state, you feel refreshed instead. You feel refreshed. Okay, I'm walking, I'm fully alert, and now certain, improvement also happening. It is also bringing some happiness. So the sotantopa is now fairly overcome, and you feel enjoying the walking practice now. Probably even more than sitting. So, and again, the other thing is the noting. So while walking, rather than simply keeping your mind without any kind of verbalization, you can use a little bit of verbalization. Say when your right foot is touching the ground, you can simply note it as right. When your left foot is touching the ground, you can simply note it as left. So this is a very simple technique, so that the physical process and the mental process are very much like aligned, well synchronized, so that you are fully alert. So your foot is touching the ground, that is the physical activity, and you have to be fully alert to appreciate or to accept that activity and to note it. Okay, this is right, it is not the left, or wait, this is the right. So likewise, strategically, we are trying to make the mind active and fully involved with the walking process, so that mind may avoid becoming sluggish. So
thank you for raising the issue of walking meditation. So I have two practical hints on this walking meditation issue. Buddha is the only teacher introduced walking meditation. God, other mystics, other animations, they are talking about the meditation, but no walking meditation. So whenever you met up with the yogi and he is having maybe some complaints, so if he asks, all the answers, at least 50% will be solved by walking. Have you done? They have not done so far. That means they are questions, they are problems, and basically due to lethargic and unprepared mind. I mean that no proper right view. So therefore, walking meditation is an intermediate step to the walking and day-to-day busy life. Multitask. So therefore, walking meditation, we diversify, as Venerable indicated, go forward and be touch aware of the touch point to the heel, to the others and everything, and then go backward to the touching point, and then see walking, close to the eyes on a reach, and then you can see some people frightening, but they invariably accept that they are more mindful, they are more alert. You must not put the term meditation. We have to ask, when are you alert more in walking forward or backward, walking closed eyes or open eyes, and then backward, closed eyes. So you can't see any meditation over there. People meditation, for them meditation is different. So we have to separate meditation from mindfulness, and mindfulness basic, or we can say sampajanya, or clear comprehension happens in the lethargic setting, when the monotony setting, when the boredom setting, when the exhausted, flat tire situation setting, and that, once that become a object of meditation, you are half enlightened. That is what I have to say. Three remarks. One thing, only the Buddha introduced walking meditation. Yogis, those who are not practicing walking meditation, they have a lot of yogic life questions. Third one is, walking meditation makes bridging from the sitting meditation to the daily activity. So therefore, instead of telling others, we ourselves try to walk as much as possible.
Vasai Swaminathan, I'm from personal experience, I think that there could be some pitfalls with walking meditation, because I remember when I was starting out meditation one time, and I dare say this, I almost fell asleep while walking because it was so relaxing, so calming, so soothing, just knowing right foot, left foot, right stepping, left stepping. It's as if I went into autopilot. I was just a robot, just observing. And my eyes almost completely closed and I almost fell asleep while walking. So is there a way to, you know, balance your energy or your awareness so that you don't fall into this zombie-like state while walking, this sleepiness?
Fall into this. That is the way things are happening, autopiloting way. Then you have to say, walking, I, myself, and provocation is not necessary. At the beginning, as Venerable Chandrasan tried to say, vitakka vichara is necessary. This is right. And after a while, you can understand it is not necessary. Walking can happen automatically. How when the children get up from the very child age, at the beginning they have to have walk right. They have to have support. But later, when they are walking by themselves, is it backward or forward? Exactly, our mind is learning how to do this kind of autopiloting mode, and you have to let the mind, let the body walk and be aware. Then you are observing yourself. That is the second advantage. You are putting yourself under a TV camera, CCTV camera, and see action replay, slow motion. Then you can understand who am I.
Right. Discussing this topic of drowsiness and lethargy, I think we can say that the antidote or how to dispel it is to exert sati and virya, mindfulness and energy, and that will keep drowsiness and lethargy away, or it will keep it controlled, or in the end just eliminate it altogether. Would that be right? Application of mindfulness and energy.
So if you are a theoretician, your answer is correct. If you are a practical person, you have to say, you have to accept boredom as a precursor to the nibbana and do whatever you like. Either to be with boredom or to do away with boredom. In Theravada tradition, it definitely indicates you have to get rid of boredom. But I don't think so for the advanced yogis. They can be with boredom. Just like after the marriage, at the beginning it's a very thrill. But later, why you are living in the marriage life? It's boring. But still you do. You reason it out with many social and decent things. But you are a fool. You are a fool. You are doing it for your children's sake. You are doing it for the family. But you are boring. So therefore, accept that boredom. Boredom is a very auspicious omen. Bad, not bad though. So that you can see, people, those who are having positive thinking, they are very, very skillful in boredom. They make lot of creative things out of boredom. Even once they fall into the prison, even if they are about to, divorce, they know it. Many people think it is not civilized. So therefore, theoretically, you have to do away with boredom. You have to be aware of the energy aspect and kind of thing. But before everything, and to understand boredom is a precursor. Boredom is a good sign of nibbana. Can you pass this message to Kenya?
Yes, I will try my best.
Yeah. I doubt whether you are a good example. Try shape yourself first, and then now you are not a bad example also. You can try and share with, you will kick the way from Kenya.
Hey, my Swami Nalsi.
Boredom and monotony is a very good indicator you to select a good friend. If he's always asking your opinion to get rid of boredom and kind of thing, he's a psychopath. He will get exhausted. He know how to make mindful gaze out of boredom and monotony. He will be a very, very good friend. So therefore, select friends, those who are familiar before meeting you. They are familiar with boredom and they know how to recycle them and make good product out of them. Those are the people we call Kalyana Mitta. Others are just a cost, just a pest, just a pain at the neck. So they are the people always happy to have our friendship, but it's very expensive. So select people, select friends. They are already talking about boredom, but not ridden, not destroyed by boredom. They are happy, happy guys. They know how to deal with boredom. And that is, they are very common, because boredom is so common thing in the life. Yes?
Avasarai Swaminathan, we are experiencing heavy rain here now. Hope you can hear us.
We can hear, we are experiencing very bright day, and people are cutting grasses, and that machines are working. Our vehicle went to the welding shop, and they will prepare some tools, and soon after we will declare essential services in the pyramid. Yeah. And we are completely in a different world.
Yeah. So, actually, we hardly hear you, Swami Nahansa. We are experiencing heavy rain. I don't know whether Kumara has any written reports or questions to ask from Loku Swami Nahansa.
Asrai Bhante, we don't have any reports at the moment.
Right. So, there are no more comments coming from our side.
We can conclude.
So, then we'll conclude the discussion. So, we almost have discussed for 1 hour. So, Bhante also has joined from Anuradhapura, and some of our participants also joined from Nisarnavane, and maybe many others joined from overseas. So we were able to accumulate some merits by, you have the his sharing of merits. So since Venerable Dhamma Vijita left, so I invite Venerable Dhammosada to conduct the sharing of merits.
Okay. May your relatives and all beings share in the merit produced by today's teaching. May all celestial beings share in the merits produced by today's teaching. And may the celestial beings protect the Dharma exposition and dispensation of the Buddha and his disciples for a very long time. May the seeds of the Buddha's teaching that have been planted in our hearts and minds grow, producing path, fruition, and nibbana. I invite you to join in the recitation of the traditional Pali verses for the sharing of merits.